London Falling, A Mysterious Death in a Gilded City, and A Family's Search for Truth. This is the author, Patrick Radden Keefe. For Jennifer Radden and Frank Keefe. The boy, shocked to see what could so easily be himself in the river, bent to greet it. Boyega Odubanjo. London, after all, is a city of tombs. Virginia Woolf. What follows is a true story. The book contains lengthy stretches of verbatim dialogue. None of this language is invented or imagined. Longer conversations come directly from transcripts or recordings that were made available to the author. Some shorter snatches are drawn from the recollections of people who took part in a conversation or from their contemporaneous notes. The book also cites numerous text messages and emails, which have been edited only to correct for typos. Prologue. The headquarters of Britain's Secret Intelligence Service, MI6, occupies an imposing edifice of concrete and green glass on the south bank of the River Thames in London. It was erected in the early 1990s alongside Vauxhall Bridge under circumstances of such secrecy that when the architect was commissioned to design the building, he did not know who he was designing it for. The Thames is a tidal river, its powerful currents ebbing and surging twice each day with salt water from the North Sea. Occasionally, a bottlenose whale will veer off course, separated from its pod, and wander downriver, dangerously far from the ocean. When the tide recedes, the Thames shrinks, its level plummeting by as much as 20 feet, exposing a muddy shoreline. Urban beachcombers, mudlarks, as they're known, have unearthed artifacts of previous civilizations from the silt along the riverbanks, Bronze Age daggers and Iron Age coins. It was the Thames that first drew the Romans 2,000 years ago to establish a walled entrepot, which they gave the name Londinium. By the heyday of the British Empire, London had colonized a quarter of the globe. In 1860, half of all exports from Asia, Africa, and Latin America were sent there. The Thames was the busiest port in the world. Hundreds of ships arrived each week, and towering cranes unloaded tobacco, ivory, spices, wool, rice, tea, and other treasures. The river was teeming, thrumming with commerce, jostling with all manner of vessels and tradesmen and stevedores and mariners from strange lands, hinting at the existence of other civilizations over the horizon. But the riverbank could be a frightening place as well. In the Victorian era, the waterfront was rife with crime. People had an alarming tendency to die in the Thames, whether voluntarily in a moment of despair or because somebody pushed them. If you misstepped on a slick cobble after a night out drinking, the black water could suck you under in an instant. In the work of Charles Dickens, the river was often depicted as a malignant force, grimy and malodorous, lapping at piles and posts and iron rings, hiding strange things in its mud, running away with suicides and accidentally drowned bodies. This was the paradox of the Thames. It was the pulsing artery of London's industrial boom, with vast factories and warehouses swarming with laborers and belching smoke along its banks. But at the same time, Dickens saw in the river an image of death, a ribbon of danger coiling through the midst of the great city's life. The design of the MI6 building was meant to evoke Britain's industrial era, echoing the monolithic power stations like Battersea and Bankside, which stood nearby. But by 1994, when Queen Elizabeth II presided over the opening of the new spy headquarters, the power stations had long since been decommissioned and now seemed like artifacts themselves, relics of London's vanished past as a factory town. The city had shuttered most of its factories. Between 1960 and 1990,